I did not find the telescope a problem. Somehow it was quite obvious to me what it was for, and I was soon using it to observe the bustling life of Lhasa town, especially the marketplaces. I envied the sense of abandon with which children of my age could run about in the streets while I had to study. Later I used the telescope to peer into the night sky above the Potala, which offers, in the high altitude of Tibet, one of the most spectacular views of the stars. I asked my attendants the names of the stars and constellations. I knew what the pocket watch was for, but was much more intrigued by how it worked. I puzzled over this for some time until curiosity got the better of me and I opened up the case to look inside. Soon I had dismantled the entire item, and the challenge was to put it back together again so that it actually worked. Thus began what was to become a lifelong hobby of dismantling and reassembling mechanical objects. I mastered this process well enough to become the principal repairer for a number of the people I knew who owned watches or clocks in Lhasa. In India, later on, I did not have much luck with my cuckoo clock, whose poor cuckoo got attacked by my cat and never recovered. When the automatic battery watch became common, my hobby got much less interesting. If you open up one of these, you find hardly any mechanism at all. Figuring out how to use the 13th Dalai Lama's two hand-cranked film projectors was much more complicated. One of my attendants, an ethnic Chinese monk, worked out how to make one of them function. I asked him how to set it up so that I could watch the very few films we had. Later, we got hold of a 16mm electrically powered projector, but it kept breaking down, partly because the generator which powered it was faulty. Around this time, I guess in 1945, Heinrich Harrer and Peter Aufschneider, Austrians who had escaped over the Himalayas from a British prisoner of war camp in northern India, arrived in Lhasa. Harrer became a friend of mine, and I would occasionally turn to him to help fix the projector. We could not get many films, but numerous newsreels of the great events of the Second World War made it across from India, giving the story from an Allied perspective. There were also reels of VE Day, of the coronation of King George VI of England, and Laurence Olivier's film of Shakespeare's Henry V, as well as some of Charlie Chaplin's silent movies. My fascination for science began with technology, and indeed I saw no difference between them. When I met Harrer, who was much better with things mechanical than anyone I knew in Lhasa, I presumed his expertise in science was as profound as his command over the few mechanical objects we had in the Potala. It is funny that years later I discovered he had no professional scientific background. At that time, I thought all white men had deep knowledge of science. Inspired by my success in dismantling watches and repairing the projector, I got more ambitious. My next project was to understand the mechanics of the automobile. The man in charge of driving and looking after the cars was called Lakhpat Siring. He was a bald fellow whose ill temper was legendary. If he accidentally banged his head while working beneath the car, he would become so angry that he'd thrash and bang it again. I made friends with him so that he would allow me to examine the engine while he was repairing it and eventually show me how to drive. One day, I sneaked one of the Austins out for a solo drive but had a small accident and broke the left headlight. I was terrified of what Babu Tashi, another man in charge of the cars, might say. I managed to find a replacement headlight, but it was of clear glass, whereas the original had been frosted. After some time, I found a solution. I reproduced the light's frosted appearance by covering it with molten sugar. I never knew if Babu Tashi found out. If he did, at least he never punished me.